If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Is tedious on the rightstuff.biz.
Oh, baby.
Hello, thank you for tuning in to the free edition of the Daily Shoa on the rightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed, and we need you to change that. See, the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener funded. We have no sponsors, we have no mega donors. We have no shadowy helicopter donors coming in and saving our ass. We need you to support us in our efforts to do these shows. So please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall and follow the instructions. Create an account. Create an order. We sell subscriptions monthly, quarterly, twice yearly, and yearly. It's a little bit complicated because of the rampant censorship we've had to endure. So you'll have to pay with cryptocurrency, money orders by mail, e-checks. Or you can navigate to my Odyssey channel, create an account on Odyssey, and you can pay me with your credit card. Thank you, and enjoy the first half of the show. Thank you.
February 12th, episode 1148. We're here. We're ready.
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
The Jewish apocalypse.
So much to talk about. None of it football related.
It's going to be fine. Good. We're going to make it.
Oh, I was just looking to see if I could find the...
I mean, do you think they want to hear about... I mean, we're going to check in on libertarianism.
Well, I wanted to do
some segment of the audience just went, all right, talk about the football instead.
Right, right. But no, this is going to be fun.
This is great
This
shit,
is going to be
no,
fun
no, that's
stuff.
Not we're gonna, that's not what we're going to talk about first.
What are we talking about first?
We're going to talk about my frustration with Windows. Like, I want audio
now
output.
I'm checking out.
On two ports. Can I get it on two instead
no,
of just one?
It has one port.
I want to use two. I have multiple ports. Yeah. Windows knows there's multiple ports.
You can only use one at a time. Unless you use a voice meter banana, because it'll fuck up.
Voice meter banana boat. I got to give you, like, third-party software just to use the fucking hardware in my computer.
Right. That's right.
When use, like, something like Loopback to create,
same kind of
like,
thing.
Fake audio devices, am I using more than one port, or am I just, like, faking more
I
than
don't know.
Port?
I'm actually wondering. I don't think there's more than one. I don't think you can access more than one hardware audio port in Windows no matter what you do.
Well, like, I can tell you based on my experimentation, you can try to do it and then get really distorted, fucked up audio.
Why do you have two ports? Where do you have two ports?
You've got multiple ports that you, and Windows will try to fake you out and tell you that you could run some kind of stereo output ports for using multiple ports at once, but it really doesn't let you do it.
What ports?
USB ports.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to work. You have to have one driver at a time, I think. I could be wrong. But I don't, yeah, if you're talking about USB. I thought you meant like little like...
I mean, like system ports.
I thought you meant like little like... what do you call those? 3.5 millimeter jack ports.
Yeah, RCA's little...
Oh, 3.5, no. Well, that's another thing. It won't let you do that either. That was the other problem I ran into, because you've got like your headphone port on your front.
Right.
Your computer usually you've got those outputs in the back.
So you want to be able to run more than one audio device into your computer?
Out of your computer?
Outs. I want signal on multiple ports.
Because that has to do with your sound card, not the actual ports. Your sound card can't do
like
that.
Like, I have a 32 output sound card.
Right.
That I can route whatever I want to.
I choose not to.
I got to get my time machine and go get a sound blaster.
That's also what Loopback does. It just routes shit around. Like, yeah.
So anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
What are we doing? Yeah. We had such a great episode of prep. I feel like we should just take the day off.
Yeah.
We talk about Carl Jobs. We talk about
Vince
McMahon.
Oh, yeah. You missed us talking about Billy Mitchell.
Billy Mitchell and
you missed us talking about Hans
John Laurinaitis. That's a name. I just like saying that name because the name is ridiculous.
When I do my own podcast on Thursday, I'm probably going to talk about the Hans Niemann thing just because I find it personally interesting. So people are going to
find it interesting. I want to talk about it. I'm reading Walter Block right now, and he's talking about magical machines that transfer life force.
Than Hans Hermann Hoppe.
We get that.
Hans Hermann Hoppe never cheated in his life.
And we were watching. Oh, Hans Hermann Hauer. I was thinking of Walter Block. I'm like, wait a
Walter
minute.
Block cheated.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if Walter Block is a cheater fundamentally because he's a Jew and Jews are cheaters.
We were just
Jews
watching.
Cheated everything, including international politics.
And before just now, we were watching The Chosen, which I thought was some kind of NBC production.
No.
But it is one of these self-funded alternative Christian media things. Yeah, it has some actors in it that you recognize.
Well, the comments like I was
the
making.
Priest from the beginning of the priest from the beginning of The Fifth Element.
Yeah, I've seen that.
I see his light.
That guy with that huge schnoz yeah. is a Jew actor who's like a B-list actor. He's in a lot of
but
stuff as a character actor.
They always use him as an Arab because he's yeah. so tan-skinned.
Yeah.
He's like low yellow.
Dude, they even use that guy in fucking Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Star Trek.
They always use him as somebody Star who's Trek. Like they always use him as like a retarded religious person for some
yeah,
reason.
Yeah,
he might actually be an Arab. I don't know. I'd have to look. But I think he's Jewish. But like they use him in Deep Space Nine as a Bajoran who was like super religious Bajoran who was like intransigent and wouldn't budge on
Jesse
like, dumb.
Bajoran?
Yeah. But the point I was making about like the Christian media, which is that you know back in the day when they first started doing Christian like eschewing Hollywood, Christian only funded Christian for Christians by Christians, they funded themselves, and like it was you know Kirk Cameron was famous for doing this type of stuff, and it was bad, like the production values were bad, but they seem to have successfully copied Hollywood techniques like in pacing,
the guns
and
on
filming,
dude.
And storytelling.
Fucking Jesus Swole.
Yeah, that now
that
now
Paul?
They they're
that?
The stuff that they put out, and also they seem to be getting funding now because even though these are like grassroots funded or funded by the Christian community rather than funded by Jews in Hollywood, like they've actually, I will give them credit, they have successfully circumvented big Jew media. And I looked at the producers behind this. They don't. None of them have Jewish names. There seems to be like a Jewish actor in it.
It's freaking The Chosen.
But it does not look. Now, I guess you can watch it on these streaming services because.
Wait, what the fuck does this mean? On DVD at your Aunt Debbie's? What the fuck does that mean?
Is that Aunt Debbie? Is Aunt Debbie's like a store?
I don't know. I had an Aunt Debbie growing up.
Well, does she have this on DVD?
Well, I don't know. They got a divorce.
But DVD, why do you want to watch DVD? That shit's like, what, 480 lines of resolution?
Look
at
Blu-rays here, too.
Dude, 480 interlaced? Like, no, thank you. I don't want to watch 480i footage. I want to watch 1080p footage. Anyway.
Settle for 720.
Anyway, so like I was saying, like, of course, because see, the thing is, because this isn't really, while it's not Jewish, it's not Jewish funded, it's not really subversive to the narrative in any way, or it doesn't, it's not really hurting the system. But I will give them credit, like I said, because they did manage to get around Hollywood, which would never make something like this. If it's wholesome, I haven't watched it, if it's good or whatever, and they would never, so they managed to do it. Like those are the people that are producing it are white guys. They raised the money, they wrote it, they scripted it, they produced it, and they have a thing for themselves. And it's on all the major streaming because it doesn't hurt anything, right? But whatever. I'm not like really mad about it. The thing that's funny is that in this one, the Spanish subtitles are of course there, right? That's the actor that I'm talking
about.
Yeah,
that guy.
Aziz Light. Yes. So
actually, he doesn't
Stargate,
yell.
Right?
He doesn't yell. He doesn't yell.
He was
light,
in Stargate
in that
too.
Scene.
Yes, he was in Stargate. Yeah. He was also in an episode of Deep Space Nine. Yeah.
It's like if there's a desert, he's going to be there.
Yes, he's right. Always like the religious zealot. He always plays a religious zealot.
We need a desert mysticist. And that's Jesus right
Jesus
there.
Literally looks like
he looks like he's in a bad 90s band.
Yeah.
He's like
you know what he looks like?
He like plays bass in Marcy Playground or
you
something.
You know what he looks like? He looks like the Arab guy from Lost.
Yeah.
He looks like the Iraqi guy from Lost. Doesn't he?
I fought in the Iraqi Republic.
I fought in...
Republican
in,
Guard.
Yes.
And then like, whoa, your mind is blown. Like, this guy's not American.
No, the Republican Guard. The shaved-headed guy. That's Shinzon.
Shinzon? Shinzon?
Yeah. Shinzon from the fucking Star Trek, the last Star Trek The Next Generation movie, the one that everybody hates.
Oh, I don't even. I'm so like I'm familiar with
Nemesis.
Nemesis. Yes, Nemesis.
Yeah,
the Tom Hardy.
But actually, the one before that everyone hates too.
The Schnauzer. See, I saw this advertised on Peacock, and I saw that it was called The Chosen, and I was like, all right, there's got to be something going on here. Like we're doing five seasons about.
Well, maybe
about
they're like A-logging Jews.
Yeah, but it's. I don't know. I don't know that.
I don't like the portrayals of the Romans I'm seeing so far.
No, they're definitely going to lean into the Romans.
They're getting typecast.
I want to. As white people?
Well, as people that like, we have to crucify this guy for no reason.
Well,
he's no I'm threat. Push he's back no, on he's no threat to our paganism. But we're going to go ahead. We're going to hang him on a cross and kill him. It has nothing to do with those guys with the big noses and the robes telling us to. Not their fault. They did. That's anti-Semitic.
Okay. But I want to push back on that for a second because
You're saying the Romans crucified Christ now?
No.
No, the Jews did it. That's the joke I was doing.
I understand the joke you were doing. The bits. But I wanted to
Why
try.
Let me just do it, though. Let it run its course. And it has.
But I want to talk about the actual show.
Okay.
From what I saw briefly, there was a scene where a guy who's obviously pilot is talking to a Jew.
What does he fly?
He flies a Pontius. Flies like a Boeing Pontius.
A Pontiac?
Yeah, he's a Pontiac pilot.
He's a Pontiac pilot.
Pontiac pilot.
He flies a Sunbird, obviously.
Look, I'm just going to wash my hands.
My second car was a Sunbird.
Sunbird.
Pontiac Sunbird.
Pontiac Sunman.
Yeah, it's a good practical four-banger. Get you from point A to point B until, you know, the fucking entire chassis fell out from under it and it wouldn't anymore. What's that?
You know that Pontiac is an acronym and stands for Poor Old Nigger Thinks It's a Cadillac.
Yes, yes. I proudly wore that on my sleeve for a few years there.
Here's the other thing. Let's not like overly you think that I would want to watch it because but what I saw it didn't immediately make me think the Romans are going to be portrayed badly. Also, think about it. The scene there where the Roman is standing there and the two Jews.
Wait, hold on a second. They're not portrayed badly. He's in fucking shadow with the shaved head looking like Shinzon from Star Trek Minnesota.
And he basically says, "Do you know why I've pulled you over?"
No,
that's basically what he says. Do we have a problem here?
That's
what you're talking about, right? That's what he says.
But that wasn't.
I'm helping you.
No, you're not helping. The scene where Pilate says that. Pilate is not a guard. That scene there was a guard who is like.
That's him. That's Pilate, right?
That's Pilate.
All right,
scene was a guard like handling his sword.
Right, right, right.
And I'm like, no, see, that guard, that Roman guard, is in the middle of fucking Jerusalem. He's in the middle of like a kike city with a bunch of unruly kikes around. Of course, he's got his hand on his sword waiting to stab someone at any moment because you never know when these Jews could start getting uppity. So yeah, I'm on his side.
On his sword, he's got his other hand on his coin purse.
Yeah, I'm on his side.
Oh, I'm on the Roman side the whole time.
You don't want the fucking Jews pickpocketing you because you know they're famous for that. But so he's right across the board. But the scene with Pilate where he's saying, "But do we have a problem?" He's talking to a Jewish priest.
Right.
And it's like a dramatized version of the story where the Jews are basically saying, Pilate, you got to kill this guy. And he's like, no, I get like that. And they're saying, oh, he says he's the son of God. He's like, yeah, I get like he says that. But we actually have a problem here is essentially what I'm getting from that. Right. So it's like these Jews are like, you don't get it. This guy says he's the son of God. And he's like, yeah, Pilate's like, I don't care about
you. Said Sigma. Sigma.
Yeah, Jesus is like Sigma a Sigma male. Sigma. He's like a Sigma male. He's like, yeah. He didn't have to like, yeah.
Love it.
But so what I'm getting from Pilate is that he's basically like, I don't really care about your desert superstitions. But like, okay, so, oh,
ooh-ah!
Wow.
He's basically saying,
oh, wow.
He looks a little like a young Al Pacino with a beard.
Pilate is basically saying, like, okay, so another one of you, like, weird desert tribes people has decided he's a god. Like, yeah, I don't really care about that. My question is this actually a problem for me?
Like, turn the water to wine. Touch, but don't taste!
Oh, my God. Oh. Jesus. Eddie Barzum, Eddie Barzum. Eddie Barzum was so pathetic.
She's got a great ass.
Yeah, dude. I'll tell you what, though. God. Like, you get a nice shot of Madeline Stowe, totally nude in that movie. Not bad. But anyway.
Oh, see, this is their
and
pricing.
I'm definitely, you know,
this episode was made free for you for 24 hours.
So you better binge now.
They've got this pay forward program for $14.99. It helps 10 other people. You own season one digitally. It gives at least 10 episodes to other people around the world for free.
Now,
and help create future seasons.
Yeah.
And then they do the same thing. You do it for 50, and it helps 30 other people.
Why didn't they just recast Jim Caviezel as Jewish? I mean, as Jesus. Sorry, my bad.
$150.
As Jim Caviezel is Jewish.
Look, this is how this works. The $299, it doesn't end. They will ask you for a grand.
Yeah, so
give them $999.99. It'll help 1,000 other people own season one digitally. Gives at least 999 episodes to other people around the world for free. Help create future seasons. Get pre-screening pass to watch season two early. Get your name in the season two credits. An opportunity to be an extra in the Sermon on the Mount.
Okay.
There you go. So that's what they're...
They did this also with Pedophile Island movie. What was it called? Sound of Freedom.
Oh,
with Jim Caviezel, right? That's what made me think of Jim Caviezel. This is a funding scheme that these types of things use. And now, the thing is that the story about the Sound of Freedom movie was that it was like competing with, what was the movie they were saying it was competing with?
It says the unexpected finale of season three. Like, doesn't everybody kind of, isn't this well
documented? I think we all know the story.
Don't we all know how it ends?
You should know.
We kind of know what happens to Jesus.
Unexpected finale. They're talking about, like, the stone. They roll the stone away, and like, he's not there anymore. Is that, like, well, we didn't see that one coming. Did not see that coming. Where Mark ends. I think the other gospels are a little
unfiltered. Gen Z reacts to the trailer. They're getting rizzed by the Chosen. They're like, on God. Oh, I shouldn't talk like that.
Yeah.
I'm watching God on TV. So,
on TV.
You can have season three of fucking Jesus now. Season three of religion.
That's what they were doing, like season five.
Are they on season this five? Is season three. I'm like, they're making. No, they just. Five. I think they just made the fourth. Yeah, the fourth is going to be in theaters. I don't know how that works.
But you go watch it in a theater.
Yeah, I know, but like, do I have to pay it forward?
Well, my thing was, like, I was telling people that if they wanted to go see...
Well, you know, my name is Simon.
All right, look, can we just not be doing, like...
random, hilarious shit? Why doesn't...
Oh, that's a name of one of the episodes? Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
It says Simon in 2 minutes, and I said, well, you know...
Is this the one... That's going to be the one where he meets St. Peter, right? Simon Peter.
Simon.
And he washes his feet. He's like, I'm going to wash your feet. You wash my feet. One foot washes the other.
Someone should wash my feet. It's hard for me to bend down with my hurt knee to get them.
That's not my job.
I had to sit down on a little ledge in the shower.
Get an
evangelical feet.
Christian to do it.
All right. Well, I'm not black or gay.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. So, anyway, they did this pay it forward scheme with Sound of Freedom, and that was why they were like competing for box office sales with other movies, even though like it kind of became apparently not that many people were going to see it. And then they were doing that stupid...
Oh, that's right.
Remember
that
guerrilla marketing campaign they were doing? I will give this credit. I don't think they're doing this stupid shit where they had, like, influencers pretend that, when they tried to go buy a ticket for the movie, like, somebody tried to, like, prevent them, and they had to, like, fight to get in to see the movie that was being screened, even though, like, the theater theoretically was trying to prevent them from going to see it. Even though it was being screened there, like, which doesn't make sense. If it's at a theater, they're going to sell you a ticket. They want you to watch it. If they don't want to carry it, they just wouldn't. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But they were doing that. But like, yeah, they were trying to prevent us from getting the tickets at the box. I'm like, no, you're lying. If you go to a theater that's carrying a movie, they'll sell you a ticket. No problem. And you'll walk in and watch it. Like, you're just lying. Shut up. Stop. Anyway, it's whatever. But that, I mean, look, if the pay it forward thing, if someone wants to do that, they can do that. I don't have a problem with it. But they do that. In a way, though, they do that to pad the stats of how many people are watching it. So if one guy is like, pays the $1,000, they're like, we got 1,000 people watching.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
So,
but you want to talk about Life Force?
Well, actually, we should now, since we already brought this topic up, what we were talking about right before we started was the treatment of
Billy
the issue.
Mitchell?
I'm just going to step. I'm just keep going. Like the treatment of the issue of Pontius Pilate in the Jesus story, according to various Christian denominations or sects or groups or tendencies or whatever you want to call it, is sort of a way. It's like a litmus test that Jews put on you. How do you treat this story? And what I started talking about was because you were saying like increasingly the emphasis of this goes on Pilate crucified Christ. But really, I'm going to do something uncharacteristic for me, and I'm going to kind of stick up for Christians a little bit. Generally speaking, the people I see
spinning that narrative out of it are Jews. It's mostly Jews that are the ones that I see saying that no, like, Jews didn't do it. It was Pilate. It was this, that. Romans did it. Or it's just like the general media. So when you have commentaries,
hold on, what's interesting about that? Here's something interesting. Is the implication then is that Pilate was supposed to override the wishes of these lunatics and be like, no, you don't get to do the crazy
right,
shit.
Right, right. So
go back to your dumb temple.
So the traditional story is that Pilate was reluctant, but then gave in to pressure from the Jews, but then washed his hands. But because remember, the story is Pilate lets them crucify it, and it's in the Bible. And the famous line is, "I find no fault with him." That's the famous line. And then after he's crucified, Pilate goes and he washes his hands, right? Washing the blood off of his hands, because he's like, look, he's a Roman administrator. It's not his problem. It's not his religious dispute. It's the people he's overseeing. It's their issue. The guys in charge, Jews, they wanted to do it. And that's how it works. And that's been the Christian narrative. And in fact, one of the reasons, now there's reasons for that being the Christian narrative. And they go back to the origins of Christianity in that since.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the show? Get behind the paywall and get the rest of the story. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and choose the subscription model that works best for you. And don't forget, every Tuesday evening, there is an Odyssey stream where Southern Sun will take your donations through a credit card or a debit card in exchange for a subscription. You have no idea how much content you're missing. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and let's fix that.
Christianity was an evangelizing religion, and it was actually taking hold with Gentiles, with Greeks, and then with Romans. Like, it first took hold with the Greeks, and then it moved over to the Romans. All of this also has to do with which gospel are you looking at? With Luke being the most Roman of the gospels, right? Luke is the gospel.
No. Synoptic gospel commentary.
This is, I consider, to be part of what being an intelligent, educated person in our. Well, we don't have a society, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, you're right. No, but like, yeah, it is. So in any way, they don't want to necessarily make the Romans look like shit, generally, right? Mm-hmm. But also, like, it's just probably how it worked, because it doesn't make sense. Why would a Roman administrator actually be super big on killing off a religious prophet from the group of people that he was there to oversee? He just wanted things to remain calm. The issue was, as usual, the Jews were like, look, you have to do this because it's what we want. Us, the Jews that are the elders of the Jews, or the elders of Zion or whatever. Jesus was literally killed by the elders of Zion. Okay, like, that's what it is. And I think this is well known by a lot of people, but again, the way it's treated by different sects. But, you know, I was talking about John Ashcroft, who was George W. Bush's attorney general. He did a gospel album, an album of gospel songs in his youth. And they're actually not bad. He wasn't a bad singer, but one of the songs was called "I Find No Fault With Him," and it's about Pilate. And it's about Pilate kind of like chastising the Sanhedrin, chastising the Jews for their bloodthirstiness and wanting to kill Jesus. And it's basically an anti-Semitic song or an anti-Jewish song, because it's like, no, like, the Roman guy's like, look, I don't see anything wrong. Wash my hands. You Jews are the ones doing it. Now, that's actually the story. Not only is it the story, it's also historically plausible, because it doesn't make any sense why the Roman administrator would be so mad at Jesus. Why would he give a fuck? It's not his problem. It's not his issue.
Hey, this guy's walking around saying he's their God.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
What the fuck thinks he's
probably
he thinks
mad
he's
about
God?
being assigned that territory. Like, what the fuck did you do with your political career to end up having to oversee a bunch of Jews?
Maybe. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, I think it could be. Well, I don't know. I would. That's actually something worth of investigation. Was this considered like a shit assignment? Did you like piss someone off in the home country? Like, or was this a prestigious one? I don't know. But you know, eventually, you know,
did they just not realize how backward things were there? Is that what happened? It's like,
no, they knew. They knew. I mean, eventually they got fed up with it, and
like they knew like how uniquely backward the Jews were, like the tribes.
Oh no, they were very well aware.
No, they knew about it. You can read this in their commentary. Like, you can read this in Roman correspondences. They're well aware. Romans, you know. I actually have a book. I am the owner of a set of three volumes about ancient world stuff about Jews that are not from, like, non-Jewish talking about Jews from the ancient world.
Hmm.
And it's three volumes. It's a Jew put it together. Of course, the editor of it and the commentaries are by a Jew. But I got this.
Oh, so you're saying, like, wow, just wow. Look at how mean these boys were.
He's basically like, oh, my God, look at this, right? But it's sort of. I mean, he's, again, this book is older. It's like a scholarly volume. But also, again, I just wanted to see the text, you, like the actual text. I didn't care about his commentary so much.
If you really just want to, like, a quick synopsis of that, DJ Peach Cobbler has an entire YouTube video about Romans and the Jews and what they thought about them.
Yeah.
If you just want something easily digestible.
DJ Peach Cobbler. Okay. That's a guy.
Starving something. Now.
Yeah, dude. Wow.
Was that guy just, was that guy just only fix orange shoes?
Yeah, well, that's kind of silly.
Yeah. You want to limit your customer base like that, you know? How many people have orange shoes?
No, you don't want to. You want to? No, peach cobbler is a dish. It's a dish. A dish.
It's a good dish.
It's good. It's not as good as apple pie, though. Let's be honest.
Mm.
Let's be clear about that.
I mean, they're in the running though.
Yeah, those are both kind of very American. They're in the same. They're kind of in the same category. You know, it's like
Or you can make same the crumble. Genre. You can make the crumble. You know?
Oh, dude, an apple crumble. Oh,
or you can make a peach crumble.
You can make a peach crumble. You can make a blueberry
crumble.
You can make a pie or a crumble.
You can crumble anything, really.
Cobbler. You can make a cobbler, a pie, or a crumble out of any different kind, multiple different kinds of fruits.
Fruits.
Yeah, fruits. Yeah, you could do that.
So, speaking of fruits, we're going to go over to the Mises Institute.
Anyway,
read this commentary. Speaking of commentaries about Jews in the modern world.
Yeah, well, here we have a...
Jews in the modern world. Here we have a non-Jew.
Here we have another textual analysis of a genocidal Jewish text. Hans Hermann Hoppe is going to break down...
Hans Hermann Hoppe.
Some of these genocidal Jewish
texts. Before we do that, let me just establish what he's responding to. I've already got the text pulled up.
Well, we can talk
about some science fiction here.
He tells you what he's responding.
Do we have a Hans Hermann Hoppe out there? Is there any like half?
Oh,
half Korean guys out there? Okay, we have a Hans Hermann Hoppe. Okay, I just want to make
Hans
sure.
Hermann Hoppe perspective.
Yeah.
No, we're just going to do we're not going to bother with that. We're just going to do the Hans Hermann Hoppe perspective. This is the Hoppe perspective.
Do I have to play? We already have the Mercer Minute for the middle of the show. I want to play.
I mean, let's be honest. Hoppe perspective. Yeah, we should do that. But Hoppe perspective is like his tanks are hotter than Hans Hermann Hoppe perspective has hotter.
What was
tanks.
The Facebook page? The Hans Hermann Hoppe Physical Removal Services or something like that.
Yes, he was like an exterminator. Yeah, Physical Removal Services.
That was great. That was good stuff.
Yes. Well, I mean, frankly, Hoppe is basically saying, "Look, we're gonna have to physically, remove Jews because, like." What other options do you have? These are genocidal collectivists.
What do you got there?
All of them. Collectively, all of them are genocidal collectivists. No exceptions.
It's amazing to watch their principles just go straight out the window when they start talking about Israel.
Now, just Walter Block is a funny case, but let's just start with the article.
I want to talk about this article he's got. He
which
has
one?
Because Hop should.
So you're talking about Block's article? Hop.
Yeah. I think we should.
Block has an article called "Should Israel Enact the Death Penalty?"
Give it to me. I mean, the answer is yes.
Right? Okay.
He says, but does not Israel already have the death penalty on the books? Yes and no. It is there, all right. But the entire history of this nation, only one execution ever took place. Can you guess who it is?
Yeah, it's what's his name, Nazi guy.
Yes, that of Nazi Eichmann. Adolf Eichmann.
Oh, Eichmann. Yeah. Right. Was it like 1962 or something?
61.
To come up with a interesting.
Might stop
you
right there.
Experiment?
This was a widely televised like show trial, and if I recall, like none of the footage, all the footage is gone.
Bunch of it's there's still some footage, but a lot of it's been corrupted and corrupted.
It's like, geez, what happened to the
anymore? But
no, there is some footage. What happened to the video of our show trial of this?
Right. Yeah. What happened to the show?
Evil Nazi.
Somehow, like our archive, it was like, the archive got moldy. We got some mold in there. Yeah. We didn't go in the archive room in a few years, and we opened it up, and it was some mold. We got a mold problem. Lost some of that footage. Sucks.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Just like, frankly, we lost the records of all the rapes and stuff on October 7th, even though that was just like less than 5 months
ago. All the photos and stuff. We don't have any pictures
of the
disembodied boobies in the road.
For some reason.
Nobody took any.
The
shots are gone. They didn't back up to the cloud. They were on the guy's physical device.
Yeah.
And he dropped
the disembodied
screen
heads,
crack.
The severed tits. Never found them.
Go ahead, McNabb.
But that's totally my bad.
Ulsterblock in this article, which I've been skimming for the last 20, 30 minutes, he does something really just – it's this thing I'm going to read you is like a non sequitur. It doesn't really apply to his reasoning, but he puts this in there for some reason. Suppose now that A murders B. Assume also there's a magical machine that can transfer the life force from live people to dead bodies.
But there's not.
There's not.
So why are we doing this?
Like, beam me up, Wally.
I'm actually kind of wondering that myself, because he goes into this.
Let's do another thought experiment. Walter Block stops doing thought experiments.
What if there's a machine that I could just take the life force from Walter Block?
Well, there is. It's called, it's called like a gas chamber, right?
That's one machine you could use. I mean, what do you want something more practical that would actually work?
Right. Oh, you meant a running real one? Something. Oh, see, no, we were talking about one that's not magical, a real one. Oh. Okay. I think there are devices that can do that. But I don't want to say that on the show because I don't want to be accused of Fed posting. But I believe there are things, there are machines that people have made that do, in fact,
a couple vaccines
when used.
Wait for nature to take its course after he gets his vaccine.
There you go. Yes, like syringes are one of the one such machine device, mechanical device that will take the life force. I don't think anyone else can get it.
You should have seen the Pfizer.
But of course, Jews think like this. If there's a machine that could transfer the life force from one person to another. I would make sure, I'd be like, make sure no Jews ever touch this. Like, we want to make sure Jews do not in any way ever get their hands on this machine.
Isn't that the Princess Bride?
Because they will literally.
I just took 1 year off your life.
Oh, yeah, that was fun.
Not to 50! And Carrie always is fine. Right?
Oh, man. Like anyway, he says, would it be just to place a living murderer, A, in his machine, along with B's now dead body, and flip the switch? So transfer the spark of life out of A into B.
Walter Block's reanimator. He's like reboot. Yeah, it's like a soft reboot. We've seen how this turns out, Walter.
Would this life transfer be justified, he asks. Of course it would be. It'd be the very essence of justice. After all, when A murdered B without engaging in too much poetic license, we may truly say that A stole B's life from him.
Hear that? She said it hurts to be dead. This is what we're doing here. What?
Now, here's what I don't understand. Yeah. So Walter Block talks about this, like this abstract idea of transferring a life force because somebody stole someone else's life, in a way of speaking. But that's not actually the argument that he uses. He uses a utilitarian argument that you should use executions in Israel in order to convince Hamas to stop what they're doing.
So those are the utils involved?
So...
You want to hear
There's
how?
Another element
listen to this.
This.
Applying ultimate punishment to one Nazi, Adolf Eichmann, is unlikely to deter any member of Hamas or Hezbollah from engaging in atrocities against innocent Israelis.
But
well, doesn't it teach people to not like get blood libeled about atrocities they didn't commit?
Doesn't teach anybody anything.
No, no one learns anything. Just learns, just like, you can't let Jews like
the only thing I learned is like, just don't let these Jews do
don't
anything.
Let Jews do stuff.
Yeah, because they're just gonna do these awful things. They're just gonna create these spectacles and
yeah, that's the lesson.
He draws a distinction between the death penalty versus actual executions. He's not talking about just having a death penalty. He says
say something
actual
here.
Executions are another matter entirely.
I'm in murders and executions.
Hold on, let me intervene here for a second. Because there's something here that isn't, I don't think Hobb is going to talk about it, and I don't think it's necessarily contained in Block's editorial, but there's some context. I'm going to do some context on entrepreneurship. Why did Block write this article? Why in November suddenly does he write an article about a death penalty in Israel?
I have no idea.
I do have an idea. I actually know exactly
why. Bloodthirst, October 7th?
Yes, but there's a very specific reason, and... this isn't, it's not just like, oh, because of October 7th, suddenly I thought of this. Itamar Ben-Gvir,
right.
At this time, had put forward a bill in the Knesset, you know, the Jew thing, the Jew parliament thing, to take every so-called Hamas terrorist that Israel has in custody, and had about 5,000 people, 5,000 Arabs, 5,000 Palestinians in custody, and just fucking kill them.
Start running through them.
He put forward this bill, and this it was voted down. And the reason it was voted down is because it's like that is obviously like a war crime or some kind of crime, because a lot of these people had not been tried, had not been convicted of anything. Effectively these are people. Some of them were children. Some of them were were under the age of 13. Even these are people who had simply been kidnapped, detained by Israel, and accused of being in Hamas. And what Ben-Gvir wanted to do, legitimately, what happened was families of the Jew hostages that had been taken by Hamas, they were lobbying against this bill, and they went into the Knesset and they were arguing with Ben-Gvir about this bill. And the reason was because they're like, if you do this, our families are going to get killed. Mm-hmm. And low-key, that was what Ben-Gvir wanted to do. Ben-Gvir wants Hamas to kill the Jewish hostages.
Yeah, well,
because
what
he wants,
what I'd like to kind of...
Because one, from his perspective, the fact that there are Jewish hostages are, like, hampering the Israeli genocide operation. They're really not, but that's what he thinks. And he's tired of the... it's more that it's a political problem because in Israel the families of the hostages are doing protests. They're demanding negotiations for the release of their families. So while Israel isn't really doing any of that, they're sort of pretending to do that. And they did one ceasefire to get some hostages and stuff. But they think like that hampered them militarily because they stopped fighting for a few weeks. They got some hostages and they're like, oh, that allowed Hamas to recoup and like rest and resupply and all that shit. And they don't want to do that. But politically, in Israel, like there's the hostage families like have some pull because they're the anti Netanyahu people give them credit, whatever. So it's an internal thing they're having about these hostages, right? They're having an internal political fight about it. Ben-Gvir wants that gone. He doesn't like it. He doesn't want these hostage families to have any leverage, anything to say anymore, other than go kill the Palestinians because they murdered our relatives. So he's like, here's what we can do: we can just murder 5,000 people that we have in jail. Most of whom have not been convicted or tried of anything. Just
right.
Murder them.
That's
just fucking murder them. And then
not-
Hamas will be so angry they'll kill our hostages, and then we can just go kill them, and then this hostage thing won't be a political problem anymore. Block is coming down on Ben-Gvir's side.
Yes. And he's not just talking about having like a legal process where
right.
you can be found guilty and get a death penalty. That's not enough for Walter Block. He wants executions, actual executions, as he says.
Mass executions.
Presumably public ones.
Yes. No, he's basically saying we should do a public mass execution of people that Israel has in custody that have not been tried or convicted of any crimes. And are basically there only because they're racial enemies. Like Israel has 5,000 racial enemies or people they think as they've designated as such in custody. They want to kill them and they just want to do it. And Block wants to do it publicly. This is why Benjamin Netanyahu and Walter Block are suddenly, they're buddies now. Benjamin Netanyahu, like, he's given like the thumbs up on all these articles. He likes it. He's endorsing it.
And he literally talks about utilitarian benefits of the death penalty, which he thinks is not sufficient enough, but he thinks there is a utilitarian benefit to executions. So you're making a utilitarian argument for state-sponsored mass executions, which I think it's a little odd for a libertarian to find himself in those shoes, you know, saying that.
Jew.
Is that a bit strange?
Yeah. Did they not like it when the Nazis didn't like that?
Right. Well, my thing is this. Like, you could
– I mean,
if you're arguing for the death penalty as state policy in terms of convicted criminals that have gone through a process – That have gotten their due process.
There's utils there.
You could make
there's
multiple
utils of utils.
Well, you can make multiple arguments. You could say one, they're guilty, so we're punishing the guilty, eye for an eye, and two, also there's the deterrent. You can make all the arguments. Now, my argument is also one of the reasons we do it is for the satisfaction of the public. Like people see this person did something bad, and they want them to be punished, and
right.
I think that that's fine. But this is different than. Oh, we are stealing land. The people that used to live there are fighting us. We hate them, and we want to kill them. So we kidnap a bunch of them, put them in jail. Now we're just going to kill them all. We're going to do it publicly to provoke them into a reaction that solves a political problem for us.
Right.
Totally different. That's the actual utils. The actual utils of killing them is, well, then Hamas kills the Jew hostages, and then now we don't have to deal with this problem anymore. This political
and
issue
that's
that we're
civilized.
Facing.
That's what civilized countries do.
Right.
Civilized behavior.
Right. Well, it's just,
I'm going to read the very last part of this real quick. What of the objection that execution simply would not work against these types of mass murderers, since they have been on more than one occasion willing to commit suicide to promote their goals, provided only that they can possibly take themselves with themselves a sufficient number of Jews? So argument should be rejected. First of all, not all of the Hamas fighters are suicide bombers. Far from it. Second, an executed terrorist can no longer engage in murder via suicide. Nor will he be free to once again take part in despicable attacks on Israeli women and children. Third, if they do not fear death at all, why are their leaders now located in relatively safe areas far from Gaza? Fourth, yes, many of them are willing to die, but they are very intent upon getting back their people now in Israeli jails. This is where it gets interesting. If Israel executed 10 of them for every Jewish hostage murdered by Hamas, that would make them sit up and take notice.
Well, then they wouldn't execute any.
It might be the only way to save those roughly 200 hostages.
No, that's exactly the opposite of the truth.
And then he finishes up by saying, all we can say is, hey, give executions a chance.
Dude, Block is such a piece of shit.
He's such a piece of shit. And the thing with his reasoning is that this utilitarian argument means that in theory, like, well, maybe we should just publicly draw and quarter literally everybody from Palestine that we don't like.
Maybe we should just do it to Walter Block. That way we get the utils and not having to hear this shit anymore.
There's a reason libertarians usually stay kind of far away from these arguments.
The number of utils I would get from that would be far more than he would lose from dying. I'll tell you that. Anyway. Like, I myself would be able to generate like infinity utils out of that.
But you can't trade utils in for anything.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, as long as you generate them, as long as they're created, as long as there's more of them.
What kind of shit coin is a util? Util coin?
Backed by the full faith and credibility of the libertarian movement.
That would actually be funny. Yeah. Backed by the actual ability of a utilitarian argument to stand up and against like the ability of a utilitarian to actually like win an argument.
Like, you don't just manufacture you manufacture widgets and they have like an intrinsic like util value.
Well, that all gets discovered in the course of the market discovery mechanism.
The widget is what you use to commit the execution. And that's where you get the utils. I think maybe that's how it goes. You have an execution widget, and then the utils are extracted from Walter Block or from the Palestinian, whoever you got there. And that's.
Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show, and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to therightstuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please do so. We'll both be happier for it.
That's how the economy works.
Well, I don't think utils are ever conceived of as something tangible.
No.
They're like abstract. It's like an idea. Like, I'm happy.
Are you sure? Would libertarians talk about something that's not tangible or quantifiable or provable at all?
Yeah.
Do they do that?
I don't think he's... Is he
would
talking
they,
about...
Would they entirely... Would they entirely talk about be, utils? Would they entirely deal with like theory selling that doesn't work out when you check it against...
Well, here's the thing. Here's what's funny. The argument that Block is making legitimately has no resemblance to a libertarian argument at all.
No.
It's actually what it is it's just Jewish.
Yeah.
Like it's just Jewy reasoning. Like, well, let me give you all the different sides.
Pay me out here. We'll just kill him.
Yeah, no, but he's also like
No, really.
He also is like, let me present different ideas. Now, libertarians do this. We're like, let me present the different objections and knock them down one at a time. It's like, well, there might be objections that you haven't included.
I have several strawmen.
Right.
Watch me burn them.
Yeah, like let me just burn through these strawmen. Or knock through these strawmen.
I will then accuse you of conflating different issues.
Right, if you say well, I have a different argument than the ones that the strawmen you've knocked down.
No,
I
that's
different,
illegal.
No, that's unscientific.
Now you're going to get executed.
That's unprincipled.
There's no utils in that argument.
It's unprincipled. It's unscientific for you to argue that way.
Right.
So, but the thing is, legitimately, this, and I think I want to actually hear Hop take him to the woodshed on this. Based on libertarian principles, I'll just be like, "You're a Jew. Shut up." And also, like, I also the very fact that what you're doing, Block, is you are actually putting yourself not just on the side of Zionism, but on the side of like the dumbest, stupidest, most evil type of Zion, like the Ben Gavir fucking Likudnik, like not even Likud, like the fucking religious Zionist party. Ben Gavir, genocidal, like lunatic Jewish side of things. You are backing up the Itamar Ben Gavir. Let's kill the Arab let's call them hostages. Kill the Arab hostages. Because why should we say prisoners for the Arabs in Israeli custody and hostages for the Jews in Hamas custody? No. The Jews have far more hostages. If we're complaining about hostages, the Jews have a lot more hostages. I mean, Walter Block was probably loving the idea of dressing up like a doctor and going to a hospital bed and shooting somebody. And he probably thought that was great. This is good.
How many utils do you get out of that?
This is justice. Well, this is obviously a libertarian thing to do. This is anarcho-capitalism in action.
The claim of present-day Jews to a homeland in Palestine, I'll stop.
Yeah.
Then can only be made if you abandon the methodological individualism
underlying and characteristic of all libertarian thought, the notion of individual...
Before we do this, I'm sorry to interrupt. I want to center ourselves. So Hoppe, in this article, he goes through three articles or three exhibits of Block being a genocidal lunatic. The first one, which is the one he's reading the response to, is from, he says...
just titled it that. My response to a genocidal lunatic.
He basically does.
Not a cool one.
I mean, listen. He says,
talking to me.
Well, I want to start the article at the beginning because it's actually kind of funny, the first few paragraphs.
He should write an open letter to Sven. It's just such a based.
Yes. Breaking up with a person you have known for more than 30 years, with whom you have participated in countless conferences and co-authored a couple of articles, even if only the somewhat distant past, is nothing done lightly, blah, blah. He says, but in this position, it becomes a near imperative to always stay on guard and take notice if a person closely associated with your own name goes astray and falls into serious error. And you may be compelled to publicly distance and this is not about me, by the way. This is not about my own situation. This is Hans Hermann Hoppe. Distance and disassociate yourself from this person in order to protect your own personal intellectual reputation, along with Rothbard's and that of the entire libertarian intellectual edifice, such as the case with Block. Block, to his credit, has published articles that pass muster by libertarian standards. There are many more to come. He's effusively plays Rothbard over and over again, likes to refer to himself as the sweet and kind Walter. However, he has also published materials that clearly disqualify him as a libertarian and a Rothbardian, and that reveal him instead as an unhinged collectivist taken in by genocidal impulses. Very much like Rand and the Randians recently taken to task by Fernando Choca rather than a sweet and kind person. So apparently there was another, there's been another one of these instances where I guess like Randians, not Rand Paul, but
I thought you'd been Rand Bot.
No, Rand Bot is not a genocidal Jew.
Fucking Yudel's team.
It's nothing new for Randians, meaning Ayn Rand devotees. Now, remember,
Randians; those are all Jews too.
Yeah, objectivism is a Jewish cult.
What was her butt buddy? Was it another Friedman or something that he had like?
Nathaniel Brandon. He was a Jew.
I thought there was a Friedman too. Well, yeah, there's some
Jews. There was. Well, there was also
Randroids.
There were a lot of people in her inner circle.
Yeah.
Nathaniel Brandon was like one of her lovers / intellectual compatriots. Leonard Peikoff, I don't know if he's still alive or not.
Yeah, Peikoff.
He was also in her inner circle. He was younger than her, though. And then
that's the guy I'm thinking of.
Then he was the one that said after 9/11 we should like nuke the entire Middle East. But he wasn't just doing a boomer post like a boomer fed post like, oh, glass the whole place. He was doing like an intellectual reasoning why. Now, what the Iranians do is they legitimately just say the Jews. Their argument is basically the Jews have done more with the land than the Arabs did, so we should like kill all the Arabs. This is their argument.
Yeah, I did more with this car I stole than the owner did in the last few days. So
well, Block Hoppe actually addresses this exact argument because Block actually, funny enough, Block engages in that type of argument. But the other thing is, Walter Block's biography is that he was like a Jew, like a liberal left-wing Jew. He grew up in like an Orthodox Jew family in Brooklyn, but he said in his youth he was sort of leaning to the left because that's where everything was going. That's where the Jews were.
Hmm.
But then he discovered Ayn Rand, and he said he was like really taken in by Ayn Rand. He was a Randian for a long time. And then he got taken in by Rothbard, and then he became like a Rothbardian. So he always had the Jewish guru mentor.
Yeah.
But he now seems to be reverting back to the Randian genocidal objectivist side of things where they don't want to admit, like, and Ayn Rand would go on TV and say this. She would say, like, and she would deliberately conflate Palestinians and, like, Native Americans. And she would say, like, well, the white settlers did more, were better, and they should have just killed all the Indians. Likewise, the Jews are better than the Palestinians, should just kill all the Palestinians. She would just say this on TV. And people would be like kind of thunderstruck. So she was kind of responsible for this issue of the conflation of these two and the whole anti-colonial. She was like leaning into that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, Jews are out there saying like, no, like we're actually the indigenous people. We're also not white, like many people. Like I was reading an article in Tablet the other day. They were literally saying most people in Israel are actually brown people, so owned libtards. But it's like I'm like, yeah, okay, fine, they are.
Whoa.
Anyway, we're getting.
Does Brandon Martinez know about this?
Or
like Fultai? Do they know? Like they're cheering on brown people? These Israelis that they love so
my
much?
Question would be, do you know that Jews, the story you're giving in to support Israel is just one of many stories that Jews put out there?
Mm-hmm.
They have a story for any tendency. So you accuse us of being third worldists for being pro-Palestine. They have a pro... Jews have a third worldist defense of Israel.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you have your based, like, racist thing that defends Israel. Walter Block has his, like, fake, like, Randian, whatever, like, Udall's-based arguments. Like, leftists have there's liberal leftist arguments. Like, it doesn't, they don't care. Like, they will, whatever the audience is, they'll develop something for it. So if you're stupid enough to repeat the one that's targeted at your demographic, you're just a fucking, you're just stupid. You're either a shill or you're dumb. And I think those guys are actually dumb. I don't think they're getting paid by Israel. I think they're just fucking stupid. Like fucking Brandon Martinez, Thulton, and Spencer Quinn. They're just dumb. They're just idiots. No Jew is giving, and that makes them doubly stupid. If you're going to say that shit, at least get paid by Israel. Like if you're not getting paid by Jews, then you're twice as dumb. Because now you're saying that shit and you're doing it for free. That's really stupid. But anyway, let's get back to this. If you wanted to, you want to go back to what you were saying. Well, let's try and do this in orderly fashion.
Did you start from the beginning?
Well, I just wanted to read the part where Hop said crazy collectivist taken by genocidal impulse. And then he says, I'll offer three exhibits bolster the claim. Exhibit one, Block's writing together with Alan Futterman and Rafi Faber on a classical liberal, respectively libertarian case for Israel, endorsed, surprise, surprise, by Benjamin Netanyahu. I think this is the article. Is this, yeah, anyway, I think these are the,
no
so
boy.
This is like the
property norms part.
Was this in the Wall Street Journal or where was this? But essentially it's like an attempt to say.
This is the homesteading shit, basically.
Yes. It's an attempt to defend the Jew claim to the land is what we're getting at. And Hop's having none of it.
Yeah. Yeah, if we skip ahead.
Yeah, we don't have to read every paragraph. We'd be here.
He says, where the hell was it? I started reading it and then you went back to the
I'm
top.
I'm sorry.
But
well,
I missed
to
it.
Do
no,
context
it's okay.
Entrepreneurship.
How about 2,000-year-old crimes? Is there any one living person to be found today who can claim lawful ownership of some specific piece of property, land, or jewelry, as examples, that has been for a couple thousand years in possession of others by demonstrating his own prior claim to these possessions through proof of an uninterrupted chain of property title transfers? Going from him and today back all the way to some specific ancestor living at biblical times and unlawfully victimized at that time. This is not inconceivable, of course, but I very much doubt that any such case can be found. And I would want to see it before I believe it. So that's what it, that's his, the homesteading claim to Israel. He's just like, yeah, I don't think so.
Nah.
And yet Block et al., what is that et al. Like it
means among others?
I know what it means, yeah. But what is like the, what's the abbreviation there?
Is this some Latin shit?
You don't know?
Alias something. Hold okay. On. And others is what it means, yeah. But yes, et alias.
And yet, Block et others, in their attempt of presenting the liberal, respectively libertarian case for Israel, maintain that they can justify the claim of present day Jews to a homeland in Palestine. Based on their status as heirs of Jews having lived 2 millennia ago in the region then called Judea. Not surprisingly, however, except for the single and in itself highly questionable case of Kohanim, K-O-H-A-N-I-M. Jews of priestly descent.
It's where the word Cohen comes from, yeah.
And their specific connection to the Temple Mount, they do not provide a shred of evidence how in the world any one specific present-day Jew through a time span of more than 2,000 years, can be connected to any one specific ancient Jew and be established as legitimate heir of some specific piece of property stolen or otherwise taken from him 2,000 years ago.
It gets pretty funny, actually. There's more to this argument, and he starts saying something. He says, the claim of present-day Jews to homeland in Palestine can only be made if you abandon methodological individualism, which is their term for just individualism, right? Underlying and characteristic of all libertarian thought, the notion of individual personhood, private property, private product and accomplishment, private crime and private guilt. Instead, you must adopt some form of collectivism that allows you for that allows for such notions as group or tribal property and property rights, collective responsibility and collective guilt. Now, I'm not a libertarian anymore, so I don't necessarily buy into this philosophical premise, but Block says that he is.
Right.
Right? Block says that he is. This is the intellectual tradition that he has written about and defended. Now, he has done it in an effort to actually defend Jews. Like, you remember, defending the undefendable, right? If you read that book, that book is a defense of Jewish, shitty Jewish practices from, like, a really, like mind-blowing, counterintuitive take. Like, bet you never thought of that! Like, defending, like, the price gouger, the ghetto merchant, the fucking, what did he say, the slumlord. He defends all, it's like, oh, you mean the Jew, right? But now, Block has gone, he's still defending the undefendable. He's defending Israel, but he's, yeah. Here's the pun that I came up with. He's defending the undefundable.
Ooh. That we got
$14 million.
That show is, title
show
competitor.
Title, yeah. Competitor right there.
Defending the undefundable.
Nice.
Also, defunding the undefundable. We can't do it, but he's defending the undefundable because he's defending Israel. You can't defend it. You can't defund it.
Nope.
Can't defend or defund Israel. No one can do either. It's interesting how they actually legitimately can't defend it. Like, you get John Kirby up there, like, casting about, like, just, well.
So he says, so he quotes some rough.
What's really funny is when he starts naming Jews.
Right, he's quoting Block on, like, on Rothbard and homesteading, whatever.
This is annoying, yeah.
And he says, but homesteading is done by some specific Ben or Nate, not by the Jews as a collective. and likewise, reparations for crimes committed against Ben or Nate are owed to some specific Dave or Moshe as their heir, not to the Jews. And they concern specific pieces of property, not all of Israel. I like all these scare quotes.
When you find yourself with this type of libertarian, you put, like, ostensible.
Laser.
And you put like scare quotes, ostensible yeah. quotes around, like, everything. Like, oh, unable. Israel. Arabs do that too. Yeah. They put, like, quotes around Israel every time. It's a pretty good fucking troll. Like, you might as well just do it.
He says, unable to find any present David or Moshe that can be identified as ancient Ben or Nate's heir to some specific piece of property, however. All this reparation claim directed against any new current owner are without any base, but they are based.
So here we go. Good. Another Pop property up. Theory is yeah. needed to still make the case for a Jewish homeland, and Block and his co-authors offer such a theory. Property rights and reparation claims can allegedly also be justified by genetic and cultural similarity. Ancient Jews and present-day Jews are genetically and culturally related, and hence present-day Jews are entitled to the property stolen from ancient Jews. This is where, like, he's pointing out that Jews actually make, far from the colonialist narrative, the Jews are making an indigenous people's claim. Like, the Jewish claim to Palestine is an indigenous people's movement claim. They are saying that. That's their claim. Now, the left has projected onto this a colonizer indigenous paradigm, but the Jews are like that. They've always hated that because, like, no, we're the indigenous ones. They're the colonizers. You liberals, you're getting it wrong. You should see. But again, like, the problem though is the power dynamic. Then,
right? Relations are just so obvious.
The power relations are obvious.
For a libertarian, you look at this and you're like, well, you guys are doing a reification fallacy.
Yeah, but also
you're
like
talking about this abstract group of people, like it's actually something concrete that has, like, specific rights to these pieces
right,
of territory.
Right, right,
it does. Now, it's just a fucking group of Jews.
What's also funny is Hans Hermann Hoppe has long complained that his family had a specific property title claim to land that is now in Poland, and that it was taken from them as part of a collective property grab of Poland taking a part of what once was Germany based on the claim of collective German crimes against collective Polish people. So his specific family title to property in present-day Poland was stolen from him, and he wants it back. He's been saying that for a while. But I'm like, but here's the problem. Like, on some level, I would support something like, some kind of fixing of that issue, right? Under some comprehensive way of like fixing. So I'm not totally against the idea of state or collective property or state, right? Like, we're not against that. We're not totally methodological individualist libertarians. The point being that Jews are fucking liars. Walter Block will do an entire career supporting this stuff, this very abstract, like, highfalutin, like, up their own ass stuff that, like, really is unworkable in reality, frankly. No. But then when he wants to, he's going to do all kinds of stupid, like, shitty, fake arguments to try and justify just Jews. This is what Jews want. It's like, no. If you built this ideology, Jews, you get to eat it. You eat this, Walter. You're not a libertarian, and I hope that this argument that Hop is making destroys your credibility, undermines your standing, and I hope that it's actually used to undermine arguments for Israel amongst the people that believe it. The people that believe this, which all of them, this is the other thing, the people taken in by this ideology, none of them are going to be pro-Israel. It's not going to work. Like, this ideology makes it fucking impossible to support Israel. What's funny is Hop is also kind of like throwing shade on like indigenous people's rights claims and stuff. When he says this, he's like, that's all bullshit too. But this is where it gets funny. He says, this theory is not only obviously incompatible with libertarianism, it's also plain absurd. Just consider, this is funny. This kind of even relates to some of the biblical stuff. Jews lived for hundreds of years in Egypt, and when they finally reached their promised land, this was by no means empty. According to Deuteronomy and Joshua, quite a bit of killing, pillaging, and raping had to be done before taking over the land. Ancient Jews were not homesteaders. They were perpetrators. And there had already been plenty of ethnic mixing with other people of other tribes, Egyptians, Greeks, and all sorts of other people around the Mediterranean long before the Romans arrived and took over. And this genetic admixture later, also with Arabs, continued up to the present day. Any genetic linking of present-day Jews to ancient Jews then becomes an impossible task. There are contemporary Jews that show no genetic traces to ancient Jews. There are plenty of Gentiles who do show such traces. I think he might be getting off on the weeds here, but whatever. Well, the point being, he's like,
no.
Hey, you're still listening to only half the content? I don't know if I could do that. And I would say to myself, man, this Svenpai guy is making good content. I love this. I can't take any more free riding. I don't know what I'm going to do. What am I going to do? I'm Svenpai's top guy. What am I going to do? Seven Sun chose me to get a subscription. Whoa, Sven needs me? Okay, I'll do it. I'm going to bat for you, Sven. I'm going to therightstuff.biz/paywall, Sven.
Oh, not even, right, imagine you getting way too, like, down in the weeds. But even, he's funny because he's like, even your initial claim to this land was based, not, you never homesteaded it. You always stole it.
Right.
Your own myths tell you.
It's really funny, too, that they admit it. Like, it's in their book.
It's in their book.
We stole it.
Because Jews, as a people, don't... They consider... You gotta understand. As a people, they have a totally different moral system and moral impulse than your moral instincts. As a Gentile, now, there's different moral systems you could believe in, different ideas about morality, how you construct it, how you... law, morals. There's different ones. People have debated about it. But in no Gentile or European system come up with by European philosophers and intellectuals of law or of morality or of property claims and things like that, in no such system is what the Jews have done acceptable, right? Like, in no such system have... Now, not to say that Europeans haven't, like, conquered land and killed people to take land. They have. But no European intellectual has developed the philosophical, not even, like, religious system by which that is considered philosophically and morally legal, law-based, and acceptable in what we do. Like, Jews have based their identity and their religious identity and their entire philosophy as Jews on the act of genocide. Okay? Genocide, I want people to understand, genocide is fundamental to Jewish identity. It's who they are. They came up with a concept. They're the first people that did it. And they enshrined it in their religion.
And it's why they're always, like, conscious of, you're going to do that to us!
Right.
Because as soon as we get the chance, they're worried
that turnabout is going to become fair play.
Yep.
They're worried that... And they also understand that the one way to get... to rid the earth of this issue, or one possible way, that might occur to people, would be just do to them what they do to everybody else. just do to them what they do to everybody else, which in fact is an ethic that anybody can understand. That's the other thing. That's a moral premise anybody can understand. You do it, now you get it. People can get that. That's very simple. So, yeah, like, that's what's funny. And now, my personal view is that, in fact, so if you were to believe the Book of Exodus, if it was real and not a myth, you would now see that this current return to Israel is the third time in history that they would have done this. Because the second time in history that they would have done this was called, like, the post-exilic period, which was actually the period to which the writing of these Old Testament books can be traced, if not even later, because the post-exilic period is roughly located around 600 or so BC, and that's about when they claim these texts. But in fact, many of the texts are much newer than they even think, and some of them are even, like, they dated to, like, 200 BC. Like, they're much actually later than people initially assumed. Also, my view is that these texts are made up, and they were written at that time to justify the genocide and conquering of Palestine that the Jews were doing under the auspices of Cyrus the Great of Persia, who was there. He was the, because again, Jews always, what they do is they infiltrate a big empire. They become like the worm tongue next to the emperor's ear, mm-hmm. and then they get him to fund and subsidize their return to the land that they say is theirs. That's what they did with the Persians during the so-called post-Babylonian exile period, where they built their fake second temple, which doesn't really exist. It's a crusader stable. The Wailing Wall is literally something built by Europeans that they're praying to. And so...
Is that why Millet was crying so hard?
He's crying because this wasn't actually built by Jews. Now I can see it. Like, this architecture, obviously Jews are incapable of this level of putting stones and bricks on top of each other. They actually never do that because they don't work. So...
Yeah. Yeah, so Block basically just, I mean, not Block, Hop saying that this fanciful new theory of property acquisition inheritance via genetic similarity, what would happen if you generalized that to all tribes and ethnicities? And basically be chaos. It'd be complete chaos if you took, like, this theory that Jews had and applied it consistently.
Because, and it actually would be, because you could say, like, all right, we could say, like, well, that would mean we can, like, kick migrants out of Europe. But I'm like, yeah, but we don't even need this genetic theory for that. We can just say these are literally people that arrived in the last few fucking years
also,
and don't belong there.
Also, if we accept the Jews' claim and they just get to do Israel, it's like you don't get to use that line of reasoning to get rid of your migrants. You get to keep them because Israel's in charge. Because Jews in Israel, like, they get to use it for them. You don't get to use it back. Yeah, you have to defeat these people if you want to use anything.
They're never like, oh, wow, you've done a consistency. Now I have to give you what you want.
Like, no.
Like, right, you got me on that. Yeah, you want to do what we do? Well, you can't. No, it's like, well, oh, wow, you know that? You've made a consistent argument. Therefore, like, well, I guess we got to fold.
Therefore, shut the fuck up.
The Jews aren't going to say, guess we got to fold up shop now. You goyim got us.
And also, like, boy, you really helped us out with that Hamas genocide thing that we needed to do. Guess in return we'll take it. It's like, no. There's nothing in return. There's no thank you.
Yeah. There's no return. There's,
like,
no right of
it's
return.
It's basically like, oh, thanks for helping us with that Palestinian genocide. Now we've got more time to focus on your European genocide. We're going to get rid of you.
Well, it's part
thank
of
you.
It's, well,
thank you for freeing up. Thank you for freeing
frankly,
up like, the
these
CPU
things
cycles.
Dovetail quite nicely with each other.
Yeah, that's how they work.
These things seem to actually just the two agendas. Like, well, look at that! Amazing how it works out like that. But but also, like, you don't even need some stupid genetic shit. It's like, look, these new arrivals to Europe, they've all come in the last few decades. We can trace when they got here. We know who they are. They can just be told to leave. Frankly, the Syrian government wants their people back. The Syrian government, the rightful Syrian government of Bashar Assad is like, hey, all those refugees, all those people that fled to Europe, we want them back to reintegrate into our society. And, like, Europe, and that's why the Europeans, under the direction of Jews, have basically said, oh, yeah, by the way, like, Syrians can never be deported. Like, they've got eternal protections. And it, particularly if they're young men, because young men might go back and have to get drafted into the Syrian army, and we're not going to allow that because might fight Israel. Basically, Europe, legally, according to the European court, there's a decision in 2017 by the European Union court, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know exactly which one it was, but I remember wrote it in my article that I wrote about this issue. According to them, decision 2017, literally you cannot deport military-age males of Syrian descent back to Syria because they might get drafted into the Syrian army. So Europe has saddled with them forever, and this Hamas issue, it hasn't changed it. In fact, it's given them more reason to want that, more reason to want fewer Arabs in Syria, able and capable, able-bodied to go and fight the Jews. So, yeah, and not to mention now they're working on a whole, they're literally, like, dude, their plan is to kick them out and make you eat them. Like, it is, and they're doing it now. They finally funneled them all into Rafah. They have now started bombing it. They've been bombing it for a few days. They bombed it during the fucking Super Bowl.
Yep.
And they're going to drive them out. They're going to force them into Egypt. The Egyptians are going to be like, wow, we didn't want all these people. And America is going to be like, we can help you out.
Yeah, John.
And, like, let's support them.
I think
them
it was
too.
James was telling me John Bolton has been lobbying
yep.
Capitol Hill.
Yeah, James was saying that too.
For
yeah.
months to, for to take months, in, to take in millions of Palestinian refugees
into the
U.S.
He has been lobbying for America to open its borders to Palestinians.
Which is that script, right? So America, Europe, like, if you send them there, you know, I just, it's just.
Yeah. Now, John Bolton is a goy, but he's the ultimate of butt goys.
I just remember
Bolton is the most, one of the most disgusting creatures.
He's the butt of all goys.
Well, the narrative that I don't care about this conflict in Israel.
No, you're just a pussy. Not, if you say that, you're just a pussy. Fuck you, but you do your bit.
If you don't care about that because I can't support these brown people. These people do rape gang in Ukraine. It's like, well, now you're going to get the rest of them.
Well, now you get the rape gang.
They're sending the rest of the rape gang to meet up with their friends because... I mean, right. I'm not to say that, like, you didn't give verbal support to Israel, but there's a component of that. Like, you didn't help.
I'm sorry if you say, like, I don't care. You're effectively giving verbal support to Israel because
do you care now?
When they're there, what these people will do is say, like, wow, I was right that Arabs are the bigger problem.
That's true.
That's what they'll do. That's what they will fucking do.
Israel secure.
And Israel will laugh at you as you do that, and as they build their fucking condos in Gaza City, as they build, like, a bunch of cheesy ass, like, fucking Adobe style houses,
and then they try to figure out how to empty the next, like, Arab country into
Europe.
Right,
yeah, and then they figure, then now we're next to the West Bank, and then move forward from there, you know, like, press on now Lebanon, and, you know, like, pressing forward, right? Yeah. And how do we keep making sure, like, they're just gonna make, you know, just make Europe the Arab homeland? And, like, so, now, when you say, I don't care, what you're doing is you're supporting the status quo. You're checking out. You're like, I'm not going to have a position. Not having a position.
You're not supporting the status quo. You're supporting, like, the march of Zionism forward.
Well, that's the status quo. That's kind of my point is, like, when you say, like, I don't care about this. I'm not intervening in it. I'm not going to say something about it. What you're saying is I'm not, effectively, you're supporting the status quo. Okay? Like, logically, you are. The status quo is just Jews and Zionists getting what they want. So not caring means supporting Jews. And if you're an anti-Semite, if you're, like, a vocal, edgy right-winger anti-Semite, and the Jews have, like, navigated you into that space where you feel like someone's going to basically, if I say I support Palestine, then I'm afraid. What you're really afraid of, let's be honest here. You people that say that, what you're afraid of is that somebody else online is going to accuse you of liking brown people. And that puts, that gives you enough pause, you're enough of a pussy that you can't actually stand up for something just because it's right, and also because Jews are bad, and because we are supposed to be trying to defeat Jewish power here. You can't see it in yourself to just do the right thing. Like, oh, someone's going to accuse me of liking brown people, and I don't like brown people, and I need to, I'm afraid of that. You're just a fucking pussy. You're just a pussy, and I have no respect for you. None. And you just man up and do the right thing and take the right position. Stop doing favors for Jews for free. I don't want to take a position. You're just a fucking faggot. You're a pussy. You're afraid of somebody in your comments. Oh, this guy likes brown people. Yeah, I like brown people when they hang glide into Israel and kill Jewish soldiers and kidnap fucking raver Jewish sluts from a stupid rave. I like that. Yes, I do like that. I like Palestinians. Sven wants him to be his neighbor.
Remember the John Bolton stuff over here?
That was a joke. No, I want Palestinians to be each other's neighbors in Palestine with no Jewish neighbors. Not having to put up with that. That's what I want. Anyway.
Let's see here. Bolton urged a serious consideration of Gaza's long-term future, describing it as a decades-long refugee camp with no sustainable economic activity. The best thing to do across the Middle East is to find ways to resettle them. That's not forceful displacement. That is standard international refugee doctrine.
Right, and John Bolton has nothing but the best in store. He's got nothing but best intentions for the...
What a neat trick. You basically bomb the fuck out of this region decade after decade, and then you're like, wow, you know, it's just not a hospitable place for these people. You know, the weather there is really bad. They get these bomb systems that move in and out of the region.
We got a heavy bomb system incoming this weekend in Rafa. But like we got a bomb front coming in. The bombometric pressure is increasing.
It's just a fact.
It's just like
the
weather. It's literally as common as rain there. It's just the weather. Today is like cloudy with a chance of bombs.
It's just not a good place to live.
Late
so
afternoon, there might be bombs raining. But like, so also he talks about international refugee doctrine. Well, who invented that? Who's responsible for that? Who came up with that? Oh,
it was Jones.
Such a stupid dodge. It's like, why are they refugees? Oh, right, because one country is bombing them. Maybe make that country stop.
Well, this has also been a beef that they. This has been a long-standing Jewish Zionist talking point and beef is that when they talk about play Khan Yunis, they still sometimes talk about it as a refugee camp, and the Jews that's just a city. And they say, the reason they refer to it as a refugee camp is because they're making the Jews are actually mad. Here's what's funny. Here's what's actually funny. Jews are saying that the claim of the Palestinians to genetic similarity to the people who were forcibly driven from their homes. See, Gaza City used to actually be kind of known as like a classy Arab city, like kind of a wealthy place until 1948. And in 1948, when the Jews drove almost a million Palestinians out of their homes and literally stole them, many of them fled into Gaza City. And then what refugee camps were set up to house them. And over time, because they could never go back to their actual homes that were stolen, those became like permanent settlements, right? Like permanent cities, like apartment buildings were built, like stores, economies grew up around this. So the argument of these Jews, well, now that's a permanent settlement. They just live there. They're not refugees. And then they're saying, well, their ancestors, like we now have the grandchildren of the people who were driven out. They're like, well, that was my grandfather's house is still there. Or the plot of land, the house maybe was destroyed. A new like shitty Adobe style Jewish condo was built there. But it's still my grandfather's land. And many of them have the titles still. Interesting. When the Palestinians like ran, when the Jews, they grabbed the deed to their house. They took it with them because they wanted to have that proof. They wanted to have that proof. And in that case, they do, interestingly enough, that would satisfy Hobbes' ideology. His property rights ideology, which many of it is actually based in kind of like standard common law traditions of property deeds and transfers, right? Like, well, I have the deed to what was my father's land. It was stolen from him. I should get it back. That's something that Hobbes would completely respect, as would, frankly, most civilized
countries.
He makes that specific argument. Oh, he does make that argument? Yeah. No, the Palestinians, Palestinians are actually one of the few people that can do like an intergenerational land claim because it's been close enough in time that they can remember it and they have made it part of their identity to remember it.
Hundreds of thousands of Arabs were uprooted, expropriated, and expelled from their homes and turned into refugees as a result. Large numbers of these victims or their direct heirs are still in possession of valid title to land.
They are.
Other properties now in possession of the State of Israel and its Jewish citizens.
Yes, they
have. At best, only a meager 7% of the present Israeli territory was regularly acquired or purchased by Jews before 1948.
Yep.
And thus could be claimed as legitimate Jewish property. 7%.
Everything else is all stolen. And the Arabs are actually literally physically in possession of their land titles from either the Ottoman Empire or the British Mandate. They have them. Yep. They're holding them. They go to protests and they hold them up. And they get sniped at by fucking kikes.
Yeah, and they get shot.
The Jews should like shoot through the land title. Like, oh, there goes your deed.
Yeah.
Now Hop won't defend you anymore. You
can't claim the deed if you're dead.
Yeah. So he's totally right. Like the Palestinians, if anything, could totally satisfy this libertarian claim. It's very interesting. So Block is like, no, that they can't. And he makes the point. It's like, yeah, even if you could, like, in theory, say, like, oh, the Romans expropriated my great, like, God knows, all the way back to 2,000 years ago. It's like, well, that doesn't really matter because the guy who's the current possessor of that land, you know, like, he's probably been there, like, 800 years or something. You know, it's like, you can't really, or his family, rather, not him, but, you know, you just can't, it just doesn't work, Jews. I'm sorry, like, this is not working out for you.
God. Luck really is a piece of shit. Mere victory isn't enough. Israel's won every war it ever fought. This time the triumph must be so thorough and conclusive, there will never be any other war for this country.
Right, so he's the genocidal Jew just comes out. Yeah, that's not, there's no way you could even pretend there's any libertarianism backing up that kind of a sentiment.
That's psychotic. That's just psychotic. So what you seem to be implying is that Israel must destroy the entire planet and eradicate all human life except Jewish life.
Well, let's not pretend
ever
like
being another war.
Well, you know, that could eventually, it's probably a long-term goal. But
it must be. This is psychotic thinking.
I see no reason to believe that is not their long-term goal, ultimately. But
it can never be safe as long as another sentient species is alive.
Right, right. But the thing is, what this also shows is not just that Bloch is an unhinged Jew and Zionist, but he trends to the lower IQ side of the spectrum, like he trends towards that, and I think it's because he does come from an Orthodox Jewish family, that he trends towards that shit. Like, he's on the religious, he's like right, siding with the retarded religious Zionists.
Here's a good question.
Yeah.
He says, the Murray Rothbard I knew would have immediately called them out as unhinged, monstrous, unconscionable, and sickening, and publicly ridiculed, denounced, unfriended, and excommunicated Bloch as a Rothbardian. But is that really true? Would Murray Rothbard stand by his principles?
I am going to say something that might not be entirely popular. I think he would.
Yeah, you think so?
I think Rothbard was actually...
That would blow his whole cover if he... You know what I mean?
Rothbard also... Here's the other thing. Rothbard wrote...
Rothbard is the godfather of all this. Him and Mises.
Like, of this ideology that Hop is pointing out. Rothbard wrote things that were anti-Israel and pro-Palestine. Like, in... But remember, Rothbard, okay, here's the other thing you got to understand, though. Rothbard became an intellectual, most of his, like, intellectual work was, like, the 70s to the 90s, right?
Okay.
And he died, I think, in the late mid to late 90s. So he sort of was developing this ideology and this sort of, taking from Mises, and then, now Mises himself became, like, a lunatic collectivist when it came to Germany, because he was alive at that time and all, whatever. He's a Jew, so he was. It would be interesting for Hop to analyze Mises' Unlimited Government, where in Unlimited Government, it's actually just an attack on the Nazis, and Mises, like, deviates completely from libertarianism and advocates, like,
go to therightstuff.biz/paywall for your subscription today.
International bodies to adjudicate, like, massive collective property claims. I'm internationalizing my body. and so he's literally advocating for, like, international world law to, like, come down on all the Germans and kick them out of Germany, right? He's doing that, right?
I got you international bodies. I got you unlimited government. What did he call it? Not unlimited.
Well, I've got you a criminal court. I've got you a genocide decision. But the point is that Rothbard, in his time that he was a public intellectual, that he was developing this, was the 70s to the 90s. Now, that was a time, generally speaking, Israel's never really been at peace, but it was post-Yom Kippur War, and it was leading up to, like, Oslo, right? And now, in there was the First Intifada, the occupation of Lebanon. Like, Israel's always been at war. But it was never anything as, like, crazy as what's going on now, right? What's going on now, this is the... Frankly, what's interesting is both the rate of killing by Jews and killing of Jews is higher than any of Israel's other wars. Like, they were fighting off state armies, and they didn't take as many casualties, and they didn't deliver as many casualties in entire wars. Ultimately, it's still a tiny piece of land being fought over, so there's only, like, so much that could be done. But the rate of killing and the rate of, like, being killed is actually higher. Like, certainly Hamas has exacted the biggest toll. Like, Israel fought like four Arab states in a war, and Hamas has still killed more fucking kikes. So you got to give them a lot of credit. Well, a lot of credit. But my point here, the final point before we go to break, is that in that environment of relative security for Israel, Rothbard, maybe Rothbard was a liar and was faking it, and he would have become an unhinged Zionist. We don't know, but he could kind of do the bit of like appealing to people and using anti-Zionism for intellectual consistency or whatever. Rothbard also hinted that he might be a Holocaust denier. He also supported David Duke. He liked to be edgy, and he liked to appeal to whites. You could argue it's the whole thing is a Jew thing, because he liked to appeal to white guys that would maybe be Holocaust deniers, maybe like David Duke. White people like that to appeal to them, get them involved in this shit, in this ideology, because it goes nowhere, and kind of disarm them. But he himself, I think he probably would have stayed consistent. I don't know. His writings before he died are effectively pro-Palestine and anti-Israel. But again, he was writing between the Yom Kippur War and the Oslo Accords at a time which you could argue was relative security for Israel, and also relatively not a lot of controversy surrounding Israel in the United States. Right, so in the United States in those years, you didn't have the level of political opposition to Israel from liberals and leftists or anyone that you have now. So there's probably sort of more Jewish, how we say, like Jewish mental, emotional security about Zionism, where they felt free. And that's also, coincidentally, that's also when Noam Chomsky was operating the most and establishing himself as an intellectual, was that exact same time period. Starting with using the Vietnam War and then like the, you know, anti-Reaganism or whatever. So these Jews at that time period felt like they could comfortably be anti-Zionist in order to attract their goyim flock. That's kind of my position on that, or my idea on that theory. I can't prove it, but it's a theory.
Anyway. Okay. It was requested that we do more Battlefield Earth posting on Saturday at your place.
Oh, well, I want lunch.
I know, and I just had it. Now I can't find it.
Oh,
that's really disappointing.
I legitimately have like a ham sandwich in my bag.
I'm starving. I can't find the drop. So without the drop, how can we?
Well, I was that whole time I was giving a speech. You could have been looking for the drop.
Well, I did. I saw it, and then I looked back, and now it's gone again. I have so many drops.
You did an imitation of it.
Do you want lunch?
Okay.
Crap, lousy homesteading.
Odd.
I literally can't find it now.
Where are we going to put all of these
crap lousy collectivism?
Yeah, right.
Crap lousy genocidal impulses.
No, I'm not doing that.
Look at that.
Architecture.
That's a good one.
But I am going to be eating my sandwich, so I am going to be doing that.
I don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't know if I'm going to make a ham and turkey.
I'm legitimately fucking starving.
I don't know if I'm going to make a ham and turkey or if I'm going to... Oh, there it is.
Do you want lunch?
Yeah, you better believe I do.
I suppose that is the end of Q.
Hey, does this look like a Q to you?
God, I miss those days. All right. Now, our good friend, former co-host, Alexander Gordon Jahans.
You are listening to the Daily Shower. As racist and sexist as they can be. We're gonna offend you, isn't it funny? La 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 la.